What kind of legacy are you leaving your children? Find out today on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. All of us have a legacy, regardless of whether it's good or bad. Our desire, of course, is to point our kids and others to Jesus. In our time today, we're going to hear from several of our members as they talk about the legacy that their fathers left them and what they want to pass to their children. So stay with us as we hear part two of a Father's Day reminder. So what I want to do at this time is invite one at a time some of you men to come up here and maybe share some things that are on your heart about your dad, maybe some things that he's passed on to you, maybe a nugget of truth, or maybe something that you want to pass on to your kids one day. Like I said, whatever that truth may be, whatever that influence was. And the first one that I want to have come up here, and I asked David if he'd come up here and share with us. David's not a dad yet, but God is preparing him if God so grants them children. And if he does, hey, before I got married, I was preparing for marriage. Before I had any kids, I was preparing for kids. And what I mean the preparing part is that I want to know what the Bible said about this, and I wanted to know practical things from other parents, other husbands, other dads. And besides, David has a dad, and there's some things that David's dad has passed on to him, I'm sure, and still passing on to him. His dad's still living.
Well, as Pastor Steve said, I'm not a father yet, but I would encourage every man in here to watch the movie Courageous. That's basically sums it all up. You know, the Lord works in just miraculous ways. You know, Pastor Steve started off just by talking about being a husband, and I feel so inadequate to be a husband, and then if the Lord does grant us children, to be a father. But one of the things, as I was thinking about this, that my dad passed on to me was just the influence and the importance of a walk with Christ. My dad was a very quiet man, still is, and occasionally we'll go out golfing, and we might say five words to each other. I don't talk much, and he doesn't talk much, and so other than watch out, the ball's hitting. But one of the things that my dad always said, and it always stuck out, he said, "I don't care whether you're a plumber or you're a preacher, just follow the Lord." And I remember as a kid, we always had devotions and we prayed and the whole nine yards. But I remember looking back many times, even as a teenager, I go into my dad's room or mom and dad's room, and my dad be on his bed reading the Bible. And even though I didn't get saved until I was 17, that influence, that godly influence of reading the Word of God and going to church and all the stuff that he's instilled in me. And I pray that if the Lord grants me children down the road, that I would be, number one, a godly influence, just as my dad was an influence. And one of the verses he always quoted was out of 3 John, the fourth verse. It says, "I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth." And he said that's the greatest thing. He always said, "I want you to go farther than what your mom and I have always done." And he said, "We may fall away or we may not do what we're supposed to do." He said, "But my goal and my prayer is for you guys to exceed what we have done." And so I look back and I thank God for the godly influence that my dad had on me. And then the last thing is really, for the last year and a half, being married, I have a father-in-law. And I appreciate the influence and just the enthusiasm that he has for the Lord. And he loves the Bible, he loves God's people, and he's treated me like a son. And sometimes I feel kind of bad. Am I supposed to call him Dad? Or, but anyways, as fathers, I want to thank you guys for the influence that, and this doesn't discount the influence that women have, but working in the school, I'm around 50 some odd kids a day. There's something missing in a lot of these children's lives, and it's the godly influence of a father. They have mothers, and there's nothing wrong with it, and that's good, and they need that. But the lack of a father who will stand and be a leader and to be a godly influence is really lacking, and you see it in the influence of all these kids who will just do whatever they want to do. So, fathers, thank you.
That's so true, so true. Alan.
As you can hear, I have kids. David brought his Bible, so I brought mine on that note. Well, that little voice you're hearing right there, that's my youngest. And one of my other children made a big noise this morning because this metal piece was sitting in a socket, and he was jamming it in there this morning. And I screamed. That was that yell that you heard. It wasn't a banshee thing. Yeah, she just found out. So, well, you know, I can't tell you how much that my father helped me when I was growing up. And he, you know, as most of you all know, we grew up Catholic, so we really had very little to do with the Bible. And so we didn't read together, we didn't do anything together other than we went to church and he showed us the things. I don't mind, I hear that all the time. He can come up here. Okay. But it's, you know, my dad was always there for me in a way that humbles me, because I think about, and I was telling my children on the way here that Father's Day seems like this is something that the world has put out there saying, okay, fine, honor them. You know, honor them this one time. We'll allow you to do that. And now I feel so unworthy to ever be honored as a father or a husband. I know God commands it, and for that I will teach them that. And then I will do everything I can to live up to that in the way that I believe God has instructed us through this newfound miracle that he's brought to us through himself, his word. That until 4 years ago, I did not know the Lord, that I did not follow his ways. And now the only strength I have, the only hope I have is him. And the only future I know that I can pass on to my children is the word. And my father is still there for me today. And I know that one day when I stand before God, that I can't even imagine the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I know, like the amazing love, I don't deserve that. But he did it. But he does that. And I desire, as we talk about every Wednesday morning, that we encourage one another to do the things that we know grace covers, but he says, walk in it. Go forth. Do the things that I command you to do in the strength that I've given you. And pass it on to your sons and your daughters, because there is a big hole in this generation that without Christ, it's going to continue on the same line it is. And for those of you who have made the hard decisions and have stepped back from things, you know, there's a song that just rips me up on the Courageous soundtrack, and it's Lead Me. You know? Because the little phrase that shows up, you know, three different times is like, you know, don't leave us chasing dreams. And the last verse, when it says that, it says, for things I don't need. And I had spent, you know, 8 years of my life being told I was supposed to go after my dreams. Not God's, because they would never give me the balance of that teaching, you know. It would be like, go after your God-given dreams. But it wasn't God's dreams for me to leave my family and leave them dismantled. One of the things, thank God, that we've been able to do is just get in the Bible, get in His Word every night. And it could be 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you know, certain times. And I'm like, okay, I'm reading to you, you know. It's not going to happen. And, you know, I thank God for that. And they have a desire. If I ever am way over the edge, they'll want to still do it. And, you know, in 100 years, doesn't matter who the teacher is that's out there, you know, the Word of God is going to be there for them as well. So as what I've heard you preach this morning, what I, you know, heard you say, and, you know, I don't know if anybody does not have it, but I have a copy for the resolution for men I picked up yesterday. So if you want a copy, it's yours, man. You know, take it and do whatever you want with it. Return it, read it, whatever you want to do.
Return it and get some
money. Yeah, I'm not giving you the receipt. But there was a guy there who was talking. Two of my sons were with me yesterday, and he was almost giving advice to somebody. And I guess he used to be a youth pastor, and he was talking about the Super Bowl, that when they aired it, he didn't realize it was against the FCC, that they need to get permission and all that stuff. And so I was just standing there, and I said, well, how did you handle the whole Super Bowl? And he said, well, he's like, you know, we would try to turn it down, and he knew what I was talking about. You know, the stuff. And he said, well, we try to turn it down and distract the kids. And I said, well, how would you do it today? And he said, oh, I probably, it was 10 years ago. You know, I thought maybe he had learned something. He's like, you know, I'd go, hey, I got a $10 Best Buy card. We're going to go ahead, or $50 Best Buy card. We're going to go ahead and raffle to get them to not look at the stuff that they were putting up there on their screen within the walls of God's place. and it's y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's harder and harder to make the decisions to say, really, I give up that too. And but what we're giving up isn't as great as what it will cost our children to have to go through. So I encourage all in that you know, whatever it takes, and just echoing what you said as far as the sacrifice for your wife and your children. You know, I'm a far cry from anything. I couldn't even rate myself. I wouldn't even want to, because I know God sees how I really am. You want to do this too, don't you? So I just, you know, pray God will strengthen us as men, as fathers, as husbands, and as a body of Christ, wherever we are in 5 years or 10 years, that we would seek those people to be around us who would do the same for us and for our children, not to pull them away, not to treat them the way the world does, but to say, look, you know, my wife, my children, and I deserve you to say the things that are hard to say, because Christ was willing to die and tell us these things in His Word, and over again. He's far harder on us in that love that He has shown us than what we would think is, okay, just, you know, it's okay. It's okay with that part. He did something. There you go.
Diligently, not too touched. Not touched.
You did that. Anyway, thank you all. Love you guys.
I'll fix this.
Oops, sorry, buddy. And here's your big, big Bible.
Yeah.
I was thinking of it written out. You got it written out?
Yeah,
okay, I'll look at it.
Oh, that thing?
Yeah.
It's in there, like two or three times.
Yeah. So. Oh, that thing. That thing. What bookstore did you get this at?
Lifeway.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a lady at Lifeway who was telling us. She used to work at Family Christian, and she was just telling us the night and day. She goes, they encourage us to talk to people here. So,
for some reason, we've lost contact with the TV next door, and trying to figure out why.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alan, for what you just shared with us as well. Again, there's so many things that we're trying to pass on. I'm going to ask Mike if you'll go ahead and come as well.
I'd just like to say a little bit of what my dad taught me. He taught me a lot about working hard and trying to provide for your family. And he really was one that liked to prepare for a rainy day. He tried to instinct that into me. You never know what's going to happen. The other day we had a flat, put the sprayer on. He always taught me to just, he's not here no longer, but stuff he taught me back then, he always believed in fix-a-flat. I put the sprayer on, the sprayer went totally flat. So I had some fix-a-flat and put that in there, and he still, today, still helps me with a lot of stuff. He taught me how to, you know, taught me how to do. And one thing my dad, he thinks that he was like me. He always told me to get up plenty of time, try to get to work early. And so I hate to be late for anything. So some of the stuff he passed on, because I want to pass on to Evan. He believed in trying to provide for your family and teaching. It's like teaching Evan about church and going to church and preaching about, you know, teaching them the Bible. And just like when we go and play the drums and Evan singing and all the songs, I'm seeing where God's already starting to touch his heart. And I just want to keep living a godly influence from my son. And it's a little hard. My dad did pass away. So it's a little hard talking about it because it brings back memories. And, you know, but one thing as fathers, tell your kids you love them as much as possible. I believe in that because a lot of men struggle with telling their kids they love them. And as a father, I try to do that every day because once you do it from when you're little, it's easier to do it every day. A lot of old school, you know, just like my daddy, he told me he loved me as he got older. But back in the day, that was hard for men. But I think it's real important for kids to know how much their dad loves them and just show them a godly influence. That's what I'm trying to do, and I thank this church for helping me with that. So thank you all.
Amen. Wise advice. Cornelius, come and share with us too.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. A couple of passages that really helped me out in my parenting and being a better husband and things like that. There's Deuteronomy 6:6, it says, "These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You should teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you rise up." Mainly everywhere. And there's another passage, Proverbs 3:12, that says, "For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights." And my last one is Proverbs 18:18, say, "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death." I read a book, "How to Shepherd a Child's Heart," by David Tripp. I recommend it to all fathers. The main mission of I have for my family, for my daughter and my sons, is they understand Christ. They're all five of them are lost. When I discipline them, I explain to show them the reason why they need Christ. They have sin. To correct them, give them understanding of the gospel. Also, sometimes show grace. To explain to them, this is what God has did for us on our behalf. The last verse really hit home on me is, "Discipline your sons while there is hope. Do not desire death." I was listening to a Bodie Balcom and actually Tim Conway on this passage right here, and it talks about we are commanded, you know, to discipline our children. And before I understood that, yeah, you're supposed to use the rod, but why? You know, and you desire death, punishment, everlasting. And I really pondered on that, but at the same time, you would have the right type of motives behind it. When I was growing up, my father, he taught me a lot of things. As of, yeah, how to provide, he worked many hours, and not to be weak, you know, and it's like love, but toughen up. You fall, get back up. You're a man of responsibility. But he also showed me when he was trying to correct me, he didn't do it out of some kind of wrong motives. He did it out of love. He sat back and said, I'm doing this because I love you. Because I desire for you to know Christ, even though he don't believe in Christ. He's an atheist, he's an apostate. But I still remember those times when he did profess to be a Christian. That's what he did. And so as you know, fathers, I encourage you to think about our mission is to be a priest in our home, to our family, and to love our wives. One of the pastors I'm gonna bring out real quick, that like he's talked about being protectors of our wives physically, but we are supposed to be protected spiritually as well. Because just as Eve was in the garden and Satan came to her, she's a weaker vessel, that's the same way it comes to you in your home. We are commanded to follow you. Just, you spend a lot of time in television or doing other things, you know, you need to spend some time in His Word. You can't teach them as you walk by the way. You can't teach them, you know, everywhere you go if you don't know it yourself. And then who's going to teach them? The world. So, yes, thank you, God, please.
Amen. Appreciate that. I like what you said at the end. You can't teach them if you're not teaching yourself. And that's so true. Well, Willie's going to come up when he comes back. It's father-daughter duty. Yeah. So, this book that Alan was talking about, and has everybody in here seen the movie Courageous that David was talking about a moment ago? If you haven't, yes, you have. I'm sure you have. Or you've seen at least the word. It is a good movie. I sat there going, okay, when it was done, I was like, okay, thank you guys. Thank you so much for jerking my emotions from pillar to post. You know. And then, but I had, while I was sitting there, I kept going, it's just a movie. It's just a movie. It's just a movie. You know. I said, don't you make that little girl die in that movie. You know, so they don't listen to us that go and pay for the movie, right? But a lot of good stuff in there as well, and I agree with what you shared about that. Willie's going to come and share also. So you come now, Willie.
All right. Just kind of listen to everyone and everything everyone had to say about, I guess, their father or, you know, kind of what they're doing. You know, when I think back on, you know, growing up, you know, my dad was, you know, he was there. You know, my dad and my mom separated when I was 5 or 6, somewhere in there. So I don't really have a, you know, after that time period of, you know, as far as, yeah, I saw my dad on the weekend, things like that, but he wasn't in the house. You know, I have access, I can call him, but it's different. But what I do remember kind of growing up is, you know, times that we did spend together when he would sneak me out. We would go to the local store, and he'd leave the other brothers at home, and he'd have me duck down in the truck with him. We'd drive off. Then, you know, by the time I think, because he'd do it with each one of us, and by the time we get further enough down, you know, I remember seeing my other brother they did with, his little head popped up by the time they got on the hill. So it was, you know, taking that time, you know, to spend time, you know, one-on-one. There's 5 of us. But he'd spend time, you know, one-on-one with each one of us. But, you know, it's part of, you know, kind of like Mike was saying, you know, the work part. He said, he always would say, there's no such thing as can't. You know, he always said, I can't do this.
It takes a lot of vulnerability to stand before an audience and share like this. So I want to thank the men for doing that. You've been listening today to a Father's Day reminder. This is available on 1 full-length audio CD, and it's available today from Change by Grace. To request your copy, call us at 904-651-3351, or you can download the free MP3 from our website by visiting us at www.changedbygrace.org. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford. I do want to thank you for listening today, and I do hope that you'll join us again next time as we study together the Word of God. Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I would like to invite you to our 11 o'clock service this morning at Eastport Baptist Church. We're located at 1322 Eastport Road in Ocean Way. We are biblical, expository, and reformed. So I hope that you'll join us and worship with us together. I hope to see you then.